Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am excited to have another repeat guest. His name is Brian Kinghorn, and he's from Marshall University. You may have remembered him about the psychology of social media posts that we did a while ago. But today we're going to talk about something a little bit different. Back in the 80s, I think it was, Captain and Tennille said, love will bring us together. But today we're going to kind of talk about how the virus brings us together. So, Brian, how are you doing, man?
Doing well, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sure you're living in a crazy world like everybody else right now, doing virtual learning, teaching your kids, and, you know, I'm sure you've got a lot on your plate, so I really appreciate you coming and joining us. So one of the things that I saw that you were talking about was how this pandemic has kind of brought people together in groups and especially on Facebook. So I know you've got a couple of things that you have about that. Let's talk about that. First and foremost, how did it get your attention and why?
Well, so as you know, I focus on the psychology of social media. And in my psychology of social media class, one of the big emphases is how social media is a tool. It isn't good or bad. It's just a tool that can be used for good or bad. And it can be an amplifier. And we spent a lot of time in the class talking about how social media and these technologies and tools can amplify pro-social behaviors, bring people together, do nice things, think back to the ice bucket challenge we talked about before. It can also amplify some pretty negative things. Look at narcissism. We've seen narcissism around forever, but it's certainly been amplified by social media to the tune that some people might have thought that social media started narcissism. And so we have these different aspects of life, these social parts of our lives, that can be amplified by social media. And one of the things that I found interesting as we hit this pandemic and COVID-19 and all of the challenges that came with what many people are calling social distancing is that people just needed to connect to one another. And there was also a lot of things that came up in life that we couldn't do this the way we'd been doing them before. I'm a college professor, and all of a sudden all my classes are online. And these are not classes that were designed to be online. So immediately I'm having to jump into what has been dubbed by others in the community, emergency remote teaching, and my students. So emergency remote learning, we have this this need to be out there. It's not the same as online learning because online learning is something that was designed that way. Your students signed up for an online course. It's been developed with the online tools that are there. You expect that your students will have all of the tools that they need, the bandwidth, the internet connections to be able to take that class. And we are doing emergency remote learning, which is online, or emergency remote teaching, which is online, but it's different than online learning. And so we have this huge hole, a whole bunch of professors in the world, in the United States, who have not had really a lot of experience with this and need to very quickly get all of their lessons, all of their classes, move to the internet, move to online, move to these online learning management systems or LMSs. And it's quite a challenge. A lot of us didn't know what we were doing. We had a lot of people had these really broad and lofty ideals about how they're going to do these Zoom meetings all the time and have perfect lectures. And the challenge is that there's so much going on with this pandemic and with us being at home. You'd think that would be easy, but it's not. One of the things that happened with this need for this online learning, which really isn't online learning, it's just learning that's happening online as a result of this pandemic, this emergency response teaching, and then for our students, emergency response learning, was that we had a whole bunch of professors who didn't know how to go about doing this. And we had a whole very little amount of time to be able to get it done. I know I had 2 weeks to move all of my courses online. Our university canceled for a week, and then we had spring break. And the Monday after spring break, we were supposed to be up and ready to go with the classes for the rest of the semester. And so some professors around the country came together, and I'm not quite sure who started it, but they started a Facebook group called Higher Ed Learning Collective. And to date, this group has 25,600 members in it. And it's a collective of higher ed teachers, professors, adjuncts, who've come together and basically share topics, ideas. They also get on there and complain a little bit and have a group of individuals who can help them and help them through things. And these complaints are quite legitimate complaints. Like, I just had a student who found out that she has COVID-19. What am I supposed to say to her? All of a sudden, all this learning we're doing seems rather insignificant in her life. And just wondering how we can help each other. So it's become a support group. It's become an opportunity to share things. This idea of the emergency remote teaching and learning was something that I found in an article that was posted in this Higher Ed Learning Collective. And so this great hole in connection, this great need, came together in a Facebook group that has turned out to be a really, really powerful and valuable group for individuals to get together and basically have this community to help us get through this crisis in higher ed together. And it's been really, really beneficial, really helpful, and just amazing to see so many people come together. Now, we don't all agree on everything, and there are certainly some differences in opinion, but it's been really amazing to see that. Back in the day, you get together with your department or your university could help you, but social media now has given us this opportunity to amplify both the need and meeting that need from across the country and across the world.
Yeah, that's quite the collective brain. I mean, that's a lot of brain power. And I've seen the same thing, you know, because obviously in the small business world, there's networking, you know, and everybody's used to getting in their car and going to a place and getting coffee and sitting down and meeting face to face. And it was the same kind of scrambles, like, how do we continue this stuff? And so everybody jumped on Zoom, and, you know, some people knew how to use it, some people didn't. And then there are other problems that happen. One of my all-time favorite moments on the news that happened probably maybe a year or two ago was this gentleman, very proper, in his suit, sitting there with his tie and looking real, you know, straightforward in his office. And then all of a sudden the door opens up and his daughter comes in, her arms are swinging, and then the baby rolls in the walker, and mom comes in, slides, grabs them both and pulls them out in the middle of a, you know, live broadcast. Well, that's today, right?
Yeah.
So obviously there's, you know, we all have to adapt to change. I mean, just being at home, working from home, productivity. I mean, you know, even shopping for food, everything's different. But I guess my question, you know, which was born out of the love will bring us together thing, is you've also seen kind of different groups kind of sprout out, and some based around spirituality or some other things. Tell us about that too, because I mean, I understand the higher learning side of things, but there's other pieces to this puzzle, right?
Yeah, there are actually. I had a really cool opportunity to be a part of a group that is now over 500,000 strong. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and the leader of our church, the prophet, is a former heart surgeon, really has a strong faith and strong science background. And I think I'm in the same way. I don't think that science and faith have to be separate from each other. We just need to make sure we apply the rules of science to science and the rules of faith to faith, and don't mix up the rules. And so he took some very, very early responses to COVID-19, canceled church worldwide, have closed all of the temples, even had our worldwide general conference, which was on the first weekend of April, where people from all over the world usually come to Salt Lake City, and then this great gathering is broadcast to the world in multiple different languages, and they took it down to a small location where only the speakers and the cameramen were there, and they were even sitting 6 feet apart. It was quite interesting. So we all tuned in at home, and President Russell M. Nelson, he asked us all to participate in a worldwide fast for this pandemic, to pray for the healing of the pandemic caregivers, to pray for the economy, and to pray to rebound, and then pray for life to normalize. And some 20-year-old missionary in California heard that and created a Facebook group. And this Facebook group was called A Worldwide Day of Fasting and Prayer for April 10th, 2020. And I think this was Saturday night or Sunday morning this group was started. By the time that I was invited to the group by a friend on Facebook on Monday, it had over 100,000 members. And by April 6th, which was Tuesday, it went up over 200,000 members. By the time the fast happened on Friday, it had over 500,000 members from all over the world. And the interesting thing about this was that these people were not all members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All through this, there were posts from people saying, I'm Catholic, I'm not a member of your church, but I'm going to join in with you. Or I'm a Muslim, can I pray with you and fast with you? Or even people who said, I'm an atheist and I don't believe in God, but I'm going to stand in unity with you because I want to be a part of this. There were even people who were Buddhist and Jewish and even some Wiccans who got up and posted and said, this is who I am, but I'm going to join with you. And so usually religion is one of those things you never talk about,
right?
And causes great contention, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we have this group of people who've come together on a Facebook group started by a 20-year-old in California that are talking about religion, not in a way to convert each other, but coming together in solidarity with one another. It was absolutely amazing to watch this happen and to see the posts of people asking, hey, can you pray for my family too? And this is the thing that is happening with us, and I'm going to join you here. And to see so many people who, I mean, traditionally, you might say that their religion would keep them apart, coming together because they saw this pandemic, they'd been affected by this pandemic, and they wanted to be together to help do whatever could be done, standing in solidarity to overcome the pandemic. Even people who didn't believe in God were involved in this process because it was something good that people were coming together on. And we want good things, right? Mm-hmm. We see negative things all over in the world, and we want good. We want to be good. We want to find the good in others. And this group brought so many people from different walks of life, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different countries, and different religions together for a common purpose. Even if that way that they expressed that purpose was different for each of them, it was phenomenal. And the group has actually continued. It continued to grow, and it's actually bigger now than it was after the fast ended, which was Friday, April 10th, Good Friday. And people still post in it, and they're talking about Ramadan right now and how some people are saying, hey, we're gonna fast with our Muslim friends and practice some Ramadan with them, not because they're converting to Islam, but because there's this unity that's come together in this Facebook group. Now, if you want your community to come together and to pray for something, you could do that before social media. But to get a group like that in less than a week, to have 500,000 members that are kind of coming together in solidarity, that's something unique to social media that's really, really powerful.
Mm-hmm. And it speaks a lot to the human condition. The fact that people can break down their own mental barriers and, you know, not think about I'm in this clique or I'm in this clique. And, you know, that's one of the things that you see a lot on social media is this, you know, people encamping themselves in an ideology. And no matter what you say, you're never going to change their mind. But to watch a bunch of religious people come together in a way where it's like, it doesn't matter what you believe, that you are going to be solid in solidarity with a bunch of other people, I think is just amazing. Like you said, I think it's the best way to describe it. So with this moving forward, I mean, one of the, you know, obviously there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of discomfort, there's a lot of disruption in our lives that have happened during this. But from a psychological standpoint, how do we kind of grow that? How do we take the good side of things and bring that together? I mean, one of the things I try to do is a quote of the day every single day, along with the caption contest to make people laugh. You know, those are my two minor contributions. But what other things can we be doing as a society to kind of grow that, continue that, not let this just be a thing? Like, you know, the all of a sudden the patriotism that happened after 9/11 just kind of waded away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. First of all, I think that the term social distancing is a misnomer. And I mentioned that earlier, but didn't tell you what I really thought it should be. Because we are social creatures, right? We need to have that connection. And being home with my wife and six kids, aged 11 to 2, has been a little crazy. And sometimes you need some social connection outside of your own family. But we haven't been social distancing. We have been physical distancing. And there's a big difference between social distancing and physical distancing. One of the things that my siblings did, and I swore I would never do this, I study social media. I'm interested in the psychology of social media, but I don't have to get on every new app when it comes out. And my siblings started doing Marco Polo. Are you familiar with Marco Polo?
I mean, I'm familiar of it inside of a pool.
Okay. So Marco Polo is a video app. And basically, you can send these little video messages back and forth to groups. It doesn't have to be an individual thing. So it's kind of like sending a video message over your phone to friends and family, and you do it to individuals or you do it to a group. So all of my siblings and their spouses are together in this Marco Polo group, and our kids, who are living very far apart from each other, wouldn't be able to see each other if they lived in the same town anyways, are doing these Marco Polos back and forth, these little videos. Yet last night my nephew did a little magic trick, and so today my 10-year-old son got onto YouTube and looked up some magic tricks so he can do a magic trick for his cousins in Utah tonight when we get together and have our little family gathering, get on Marco Polo, and he's going to do a magic trick for his cousin. And so we have this not social distancing, but physical distancing. And we've actually, my kids have become closer to their own cousins who live all the way across the country as a result of this pandemic than they ever were before, visiting each other for a week at a time every other year or something like that. And so that's been really cool. One of the things that we need to recognize is, yes, we need physical connection. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to hug people and I'm going to go out to restaurants and I'm going to enjoy myself when the time is right. But that doesn't mean I have to socially distance now. I need to stay physically distant, but I can still stay social, and that can happen on social media if it's done right. Now, social media can certainly be something that can cause great problems. And if you're looking at the best of others and comparing it to the worst in yourself, it can cause some pretty serious psychological issues. But if you're using it to connect, it's far better than just simply being solitary. And it is a good opportunity to stay socially connected even as we're physically distanced.
Right. So the moral of the story is, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, the thing is to reach out, be part of a community, even though it's virtual for the time being, and just try to look at the good, have some fun, and basically get through this in a way that, you know, maybe isn't comfortable, but at least it's better than the alternative of sitting in a, you know, basically sitting in a dark room by yourself, right?
Absolutely. Now, some people, that is their heaven.
Yes.
Me, not so much. And so for those who that's heaven, that's great. But we are going to see changes in the world. I think we're going to see more opportunities for telecommuting. The things that could have been done in an email as opposed to a meeting are starting to be done in an email as opposed to a meeting. We're figuring out how to Zoom conference with one another. One of the challenges, though, and this is an issue. This is something we're seeing education, but we're also just seeing it in life in general, is that there are issues with being able to read somebody's body language and really understand what they're saying when you're communicating digitally. When you're in a space with somebody, your brain unconsciously or subconsciously reads so many cues about what their intent is and how they're thinking and what they're saying to put context to what's going on. And that's really hard to see in a Zoom conference. There's a big emotional toll that comes from that because our brains are working in kind of overdrive with this subconscious reading and trying to figure out what's going on. And so we're struggling with that. And there's an emotional toll that can come from connecting online. And we have to recognize that that emotional toll is there. And that's not the only way we should be connecting. We don't want to move into a world where everything's in VR and the only way that we ever connect with people is through a screen. Because there is that need for the connection, the personal connection, to be in the same space together. But in the meantime, we can use these tools that are so much better than they were before. Just think of what had happened if this had happened in the 1980s. And how little connection we would have with one another. Think about the Spanish flu and the challenges that they had there in just 100 years ago. The technology of today has certainly helped keep us socially connected even as we're physically distanced.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's made a huge difference in the way that, you know, we can communicate. I mean, we sat down and played games with our kids. I mean, it's so different than getting together face to face, but it doesn't mean you can't get together. And I think that's really the key to all of this, and to search it out, to be part of that community and just engage. So, Brian, this has been a very positive and uplifting way of looking at the difference between social distancing and physical distancing. And I think it gives us hope. That's what we want, right? We want hope that we can get back to normal someday. But in the meantime, we're going to get through this together, right?
I certainly think we will, and we'll come out stronger. I will be really excited to go out and have a steak with my wife.
I'm with you. So, hey, Brian, thanks again for coming on and dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. Man, you're one of my all-time favorite guests because you are so in tune with what's happening in the social world, both online, offline, everything else. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your insights.
Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciated the opportunity.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.